वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोधानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावन चारी जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा गिरिवर धारी यशोधानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावन चारी जमुना तीरावन चारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
जय प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद जय श्रील प्रभुपाद जय गुरुदेव जय गुरुदेव गुरुदेव जय गुरुदेव जय श्रील गुरुदेव विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय रामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। मायापुर नवदीप धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की जय। गंगा मैया यमुना मैया की जय। भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की जय। समवेद गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। कलयुग पावन हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। दाय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरियस, ऑल ग्लोरियस, ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट नंबर 22। नवः पंकजनाभाय नमः पंकजमालिने नमः पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रये। नमः 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 पंकजनाभाय पंकजमालिने नमः पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रये। नमः पंकजनाभाय नमः पंकजमालिने नमः पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रये। नमः पंकजनाभाय नमः पंकजमालिने नमः पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रये। नमः। All respectful obeisances. Pankajanabhaya. Unto the Lord who has a specific depression resembling a lotus flower in the center of his abdomen. Namaha. Obeisances. Pankajamaline. One who is always decorated with a garland of lotus flowers. Namaha. Obeisances. Pankajanetraya. one whose glance is as cooling as a lotus flower. Namaste. Respectful obeisances unto you. Pankajangraye. Unto you, the soles of whose feet are engraved with lotus flowers and who are therefore said to possess lotus feet. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Translation, my respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. Purport. Here are some of the specific symbolical marks on the spiritual body of the personality of Godhead, which distinguish His body from the bodies of all others. They are all special features of the body of the Lord. The Lord may appear as one of us, but He is always distinct by His specific bodily features. Srimati Kunti claims herself unfit to see the Lord because of her being a woman. This is claimed because women, Shudras, the laborer class, and the Dvijabandhus, or the wretched descendants of the higher three classes, are unfit by intelligence to understand transcendental subject matter concerning the spiritual name, fame, attributes, forms, etc. of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Such persons, although they are unfit to enter into the spiritual affairs of the Lord, can see Him as the Archavigraha, who descends on the material world just to distribute favors to the fallen souls, including the above mentioned women, Shudras and Dvijabandhus. Because such fallen souls cannot see anything beyond matter, the Lord condescends to enter into each and every one of the innumerable universes as the Garbhodakshai Vishnu, who grows a lotus stem from the lotus-like depression in the center of His transcendental abdomen. And thus Brahma, the first living being in the universe, is born. Therefore, the Lord is known as the Pankajanabhi. The Pankajanabhi Lord accepts the Archavigraha, His transcendental form, in different elements, namely a form within the mind, a form made of wood, a form made of earth, a form made of metal, a form made of jewel, a form made of paint, a form drawn on sand, etc. All such forms of the Lord are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, and there should be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract the burning attention of the non-devotees always engaged in material wranglings. The meditators worship a form within the mind. Therefore, the Lord is merciful even to the women, Shudras and Dvijabandhus, provided they agree to visit the temple of worship in different forms made for them. Such temple visitors are not idolaters, as alleged by some men with a poor fund of knowledge. All the great acharyas establish such temples of worship in all places just to favor the less intelligent, and one should not pose himself as transcending the stage of temple worship while one is actually in the category of the Shudras and the women are less. One should begin to see the Lord from His lotus feet, gradually rising to the thighs, waist, chest and face. One should not try to look at the face of the Lord without being accustomed to seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. Srimati Kunti, because of her being the aunt of the Lord, did not begin to see the Lord from the lotus feet because the Lord might feel ashamed. And thus Kunti Devi, just to save a painful situation for the Lord, began to see the Lord just above His lotus feet, that is from the waist of the Lord, gradually rising to the face and then down to the lotus feet. In the round, everything there is in order. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति तव स्वभान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा Very beautiful verse, and I would say extremely absorbing series of verses where Srimati Kunti Devi, she is presenting herself very humbly, Tata Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidhanartham Katam Pashrema Hi Striyah. How can we, Striya, and which Prabhupada is elaborating in the purport, her internal reflection, humility. At the same time, her profound connection with Krishna. I heard long back from His Grace Shyamanand Prabhu a very interesting point to reflect upon. That a devotee leads her or his life 200%. So there is this 100%. Yes. Jivera Swarupo hai Nitya Krishnayar Das. Complete contemplation on the Swarupa as being a humble servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. With complete absorption and gratitude. And devotees seek every opportunity, whether the Gaudiya Vaishnava New Year or the Vedic New Year or the English New Year, to actually find excuse to express gratitude. So why not? So there is this internal journey which each one of us knows about ourselves. If our internal image of ourselves is what others perceive about ourselves, then we are probably cheating ourselves. Very sincere, deep connection, seeking forgiveness, seeking blessings, and expressing gratitude at every moment. At the same time, there is also the other 100%. Being conscious of the surroundings. Being conscious of what the society perceives. What has been sometimes an unfortunate degradation. Prabhupada writes in the purport that it is sometimes considered. And in fact, they made it very clear. Srimati Kunti claims herself unfit to see the Lord because of her being a woman. This is claimed because. So Prabhupada is putting that prefix. It's claimed because. Now, if you look at the Vedic system, women are given the highest position. And I'll probably quote from several examples, given the highest position. However, there has been time and again degradation, and Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita that I myself, sevaya maya tedya yoga prukta puratana bhaktosi me sakacheti rahasyam chetutvam. I'm giving that uttama rahasya to you again. Why? Because what happened? Sakalineha mahata yoga nashtap parantapa. So there is always the possibility of degradation. So the Shastras, they never have any such demeaning statement about women. In fact, people often quote from Manusmriti this interesting verse. Pita rakshati kaumare, bhatra rakshati yauvane, rakshanti sthavire putra, nastri swatantra marhati. This is a very favorite verse based on which often this narrative is created. This is in Manusmriti 9.3, 9 chapter, 3rd verse. Okay. That for a woman, for a girl, the father protects. And for the when she grows up, the husband protects after marriage and her sons protect her in old age. At no stage should a woman be left free. This is what is being lashed upon very often. And that is what the 200% part is. That the 100% which is being socially sensitive. Why is there such a perception? And Prabhupada is very nicely clarifying here. Now coming back to this Manusmriti verse, one must actually read all the verses before this verse to understand the context. The Shastras are very interesting that they always focus on oneself's responsibilities and others' rights. If the focus is on my rights, which is how today's constitution is unfortunately, my rights, everyone's rights, then there is no end to bickering. There is no end to fighting. But when the focus is my responsibility, the Manusmriti is written in the sense of responsibility of men. It's very clearly mentioned. Therefore, let me mention what is the opening verse. Yatra naryastu pujyante ramante tatra devataha. Yatretastu na pujyante sarvastra phala kriyaha. So, where women are not worshipped, everything you do is futile. And where they are worshipped, ramante tatra devataha, becomes most auspicious place, sought after place. And not only that, there's so many verses in Manusmriti. I mean, almost every verse you pick, they talk about the responsibilities of them, of men. And very nicely put by one, Acharya. If you have a jewel, now, if you say 10 people, please protect this jewel. Now, does that mean that the jewel is demeaned? Or does it mean that that's the value of the jewel? Everyone be attentive to that jewel. So that's the perspective in Manusmriti. That be, and you'll be amazed if you read the verses there. There are verses saying that Shochanti Jamayo Yatra Vinashyatyascha Tatkulam. In the house, the daughter, daughter-in-law, sisters and other women, if they suffer, that entire house is sure to be destroyed. If they become unhappy. And Prabhupada mentions this, Bhishmadev also brings this up in his instructions to Maharaj Yudhishthir. The index, like face is the index of the mind. Similarly, there's an index of the society. Index of the family. There's the women, the children, the old men. So it is out of the sense of responsibility. Kartavya. Kartavya bodha. And not adhikara bodha. Right? In fact, it's said, sometimes we have customs that women should eat at the end. Now, what does Manu say? He says, Triyam tu rochamanayam sarva tad rochate kulam. Where the women are nicely decorated with a jewelry, that household shines. Otherwise, the house is sure to suffer. And he says, Suvasinihi kumarishcha rogino garbini striyaha atidibhyobhya etaivan bhojayeda vicharayan. who should be eating bhojan first in the house? He says, recently married daughters, daughters-in-law, young girls, pregnant women should be served with meals even before the guests. Even before the guests. Atithi, unke pehle inko parosna hai. So, I mean, I can go on and on with the kind of verses. This is the only verse. Na stri swatantram arhati. That they should not be left independent. Why? Just like a jewel cannot be left independent. And here is the surrounding context. To the extent, we talked about meals. Then sometimes, you know, ancestral wealth, how should it be distributed? All of us know about this lapse, right? I think 3 years or 5 years. If there's no one claiming some place, then the person who's occupying it, it becomes his or hers. Except for women's. Something that, so that's also clearly explained. Uh-huh. It said that, Sarveshu chaparadheshu pumso yorthadam smritaha tadartha yoshito dadyur vadhe pumso agni kartanam. Now, this there are 2 points being made here. One is that any offense done by a man, you should have 100% punishment. But in these cases, only half the punishment is to be meted out to women. Right? And then Manusmriti goes on to say that the women have the first right to whatever inheritance remains. Because it might happen that a woman gets married, she might inherit and she might enjoy the riches in the husband's place. And therefore, over time there might have been a case. Sakale mahata yogo nashta parantapa. There could be a case where, you know, all the wealth gets inherited by the men, by the sons. But Manuspati has details on what should be inherited by the wife, what should be inherited by the daughters, what should be inherited by the mother. So therefore, the details we can always get into. The main point is when we focus on others' adhikar and one's own kartavya. As exemplified by Lord Ram, I mean, he made all his efforts to tell Mother Sita, don't accompany me. He wasn't reminding Sita Devi, you remember what your kartavya is? He performed his duty. Sita, you must be here. But Mother Sita, her kartavya, I mean, her chastity and her devotion drew her into the forest. Can you imagine? She is newly wed and about to become a queen. And she has to go to the forest. But it's her kartavya and devotion that drew her to the forest. If internally, of course, Lord Ram was very happy in the association of Mother Sita. That's also explained by Valmiki Rishi. So, yes, when one's focus is on one's own kartavya and what I can facilitate for others, then one sees relishes the beautiful relation of Prabhu Shri Ramchandra and Mother Sita. Then one relishes the beautiful relation of Mother Kunti and Lord Krishna. It's very interesting here. Prabhupada writes in the purport that typically the devotee is advised to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord and then move on to the lotus face. It's explained that ekaika shongani, that one by one, padadi yavat hasitam gadabrata jitam jitam sthanam apohya dharayet param param shuddha dhiryatayatha. Now this is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, second chapter, verse number 13. Ekaika shongani, starting with the lotus feet. And the mind gets purified. And as your mind gets purified, jitam jitam sthanam apohya dharayat param param shuddha dhiri yathayatha. As you progress, then you can appreciate and not view the beautiful lotus face of the Lord in the mood of enjoyment. However, Mother Kunti, again, it's 200% point of Shyamananda Prabhu. She didn't want to embarrass Krishna. She was very sensitive. Right? It's not that the scriptures say, so I'll follow, in a very straightjacket manner. Very sensitively, Prabhupada writes, Srimati Kunti, because of her being the aunt of the Lord, did not begin to see the Lord from the lotus feet because the Lord might feel ashamed. And thus Kunti Devi, just to save a painful situation for the Lord, began to see the Lord just above his lotus feet. Very sensitive. Yet, in that sensitivity, being socially sensitive, being sensitive to that relationship, her devotion is unwavering. Which is that other internal 100%. Very profound. We find that this concept, you know, of how things degrade. Today is also the auspicious day of disappearance of Sri Uddharandatta Thakur. And Prabhupada, in one purport, I mean, he talks about the life of Uddharandatta Thakur. This is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, 11th chapter, verse number 41. Mahabhagavata Shrestha Datta Uddharana Sarvabhave Seve Nityanandera Charana. So Uddharandatta Thakur, he is considered as Subahu, one of the Dwadasha Gopals, Prabhupada writes in the purport. And specifically in the context of the social context, it turned out that Uddharandatta Thakur was born in the family of Suvarna Maliks. And Prabhupada writes, I'll just quote from Prabhupada, very interestingly writes, Uddharandatta Thakur, previously known as Sri Uddharandatta, he was a resident of Saptagram, which is situated on the bank of the Saraswati River near the Trishabhigad railway station in the district of Hooghly. At the time of Uddharandatta Thakur, Saptagram was a very big town encompassing many other places such as Vasudevpura and so on. So Saptagram, I mean, also is considered a place where Saptarishi resided. Atri, Bruhu, Sarishra, Gautama, Kashyapa, Angira, Sarishya. So, Prabhupada continues, Calcutta was developed under the British rule by the influential mercantile community and especially by the Suvarna Vanik community who came down from Saptagram to establish their businesses and homes all over Calcutta. They were known as the Saptagrami mercantile community of Calcutta and most of them belonged to the Malik and Sil families. More than half of Calcutta belonged to the community, as did Srila Uddharandatta Thakur. Our paternal family also came from this district and belong to the same community. The Maliks of Calcutta are divided into two families, and Prabhupada goes on. Now, this particular family, this particular lineage, for some reasons, now there is a story of Balal Sen, a king, who used to give out in charity golden cows to Brahmanas. It turned out that one Brahmana, he traded off this golden cow, one golden cow with a Suvarna Malik. And the Suvarna Malik, he tried to melt the gold. And as he did that, he found blood oozing out. Immediately this reached the ears of Balal Sen and he was very, very upset. I mean, this is mother cow being gifted and this Maliks, the Suvarna Maliks, they are melting. So since then he proclaimed that they are very downgraded. Now this for this one reason, there's a social context. But Prabhupada points out that this great personality, I think his name was Divakar Datta earlier, Nityananda Prabhu proclaimed during his birth, he shouted, Uddharandatta, Uddharana, Uddharandatta, one who is going to elevate not only himself, but the entire clan. Right? So time and again, we see when the spiritual root, the spiritual stream is upheld, it is nourished. When such degradations happen, which is very natural, for which we can't blame any one person necessarily. The focus is how can this be elevated again? And Srimati Kunti Devi is playing exactly that role. I mean, she is speaking like a Paramahamsa. And she is a Paramahamsa. At the same time, she is bringing out a possible social context. Katam pashyema histriyah. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mrityus sarvaharas chaham udhavatta भविष्यताम कीर्ति श्रीवाच नारीणाम. कृष्णा एक्सप्लेन्स व्हाट ऑल ही इज, व्हाट आर द फेमिनाइन क्वालिटीज. कीर्ति श्रीवाच नारीणाम सेवन राइट. Fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness and patience. Smritir medha adhitik shama. Patience, shama. Now, I'll just read from that purport. These seven opulences are considered feminine. If a person possesses all of them or some of them, he becomes glorious. If a man is famous as a righteous man, that makes him glorious. Sanskrit is a perfect language and therefore very glorious. If after studying one can remember a subject matter, smriti, he is gifted with a good memory or smriti. And the ability not only to read many books on different subject matters, but to understand them and apply them when necessary, medha, is intelligence. Another opulence. The ability to overcome unsteadiness is called firmness and steadfastness. Dhriti. Dhrityaya ka dharayate. Mana pranendriya kriya. Yogena vivicharanya buddhi sapartha sattviki. Sattviki buddhi require is powered by dhriti. And when one is fully qualified, yet is humble and gentle. And when one is able to keep his balance, both in sorrow and in the ecstasy of joy, he has an opulence called patience, kshama. Krishna's beautifully pointing out and Prabhupada is nicely elaborating these feminine qualities. Now if you look at the Vedas, there is this concept of Brahmavadini. Brahmavadini. And it's really referring to Brahma. Tene Brahma Adi Hridaya Adikavaye Mujyanti Yat Surya. Brahma refers to Vedas. So Brahmavadini is are those women who through their tapas have actually not only become well-versed in the Vedas. In fact, they are considered as authorities on those Vedic shakhas. So there's a notion of Brahmavadini in the Vedas. So for all who say, right, know that women education was not encouraged. I mean, even if you look at child marriage, you find no history of it in the Mahabharata and any other scriptures. It's probably only the Buddhist time and thereafter when, you know, Kshatriyas became weak. There was this child marriage as an emergency. Otherwise, there's also concept of brahmacharinis. Some of these brahmavadinis. The whole idea is one who is intelligent and greatly learned as a woman and who has chosen the path of Vedic studies is called brahmavadini. Some of their names are Ambarani, Romasa, Gargi, Ghosha, Maitreyi, Lopamudra. It's important to know the very glorious lineage left by these women. And we find several such conversations even in Ramayana, Mahabharata, alluding to the names of these personalities, sometimes quoted by Draupadi. Sita Devi quotes them. You'll find in the this beautiful samvad of Gargi in the court of in Janaka Maharaj. Again, very well known. So just kind of as a example, Maitreyi. Who was Maitreyi? She was the wife of Yajnavalkya Maharshi. That's a Brahmavadini. And the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad glorifies her. In fact, there are several shakhas to which she is considered the authority. Then there is Vishwavara. She is in the lineage of Atri, one of the Saptarshis. So she, this, when we say authority, that's the name for it. It's called Mantra Drishta. She is a Mantra Drishta for the Rigveda, 5th Mandala, Sukta 22nd. So there is now, those are details, you'll find them in those specific Vedas. Then Ghosha, she is also called a Rishika. So there's a notion of Rishi, like you have Rishi, you have Rishika. She was the daughter of Rishi Kakshivan. And there's a big lineage about her. She composed two Rigveda Suktas, 39 and 40. Gargi, we mentioned about her earlier. She was a daughter of Vachaknu Rishi. She also called Vachaknavi. That's how she's addressed several times. And
it's explained that she had a very detailed conversation with Yajnavalkya Maharshi in the this is explained in the I think it's the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It's mentioned in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, but it's also alluded to in the Valmiki Ramayana. Now, very interesting, there's a very detailed conversation between Yajnavalkya Rishi, and Yajnavalkya Rishi asks very complex questions to her, she answers. The interesting thing is the conclusion, without getting into the details. What really impressed Yajnavalkya Rishi was that her scholarly aptitude, yet her humility. She venerated Yajnavalkya Rishi as the Pradhan Rishi in that, even though she was able to answer questions. That was Gargi. Therefore, when Krishna says, Kirti Srivaksha Narinam Smitir Medha Dhritik Shama. Shama! I have to bear a child for 9 months in the womb. Right? It's very natural. Therefore, the scriptures say that Mata Prathamo Guru Pritpitya Dhritiya. Very naturally, she is the first guru. And then, there are many others. Another daughter of Atri Maharshi was Apala. And she is the Mantra Drishta for the Rig Veda. Mandala 8, Sukta 9.1. And then there is Vak. Vak, now the word Vak, which Krishna mentioned in the 10th canto, 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there's a name, Rishika by that name. She is the daughter of Vak Ambarish Rishi. She is also Brahmavadini. And then there is Romasa, Mantra Drishta of the Rig Veda. She is the daughter of Brihaspati. There is Sulabha. She also visited, in fact, her mention is also there in Valmiki Ramayana. She visited Janaka Maharaja's court. And she's very interesting. You read and Krishna talks about Janakadayaha in Bhagavad Gita. You read the Valmiki Ramayana and, you know, read other scriptures. So many Upanishads have mention of Janaka Rishi and his conversations. There's a very detailed conversation between Janak Maharshi, Gang Maharaj and Sulabha Rishika. So in this way, again, it suffices to say that Maharani Kunti, when he's expressing out of humility, I mean, it's only humility. It's not factual at all. She is acting like a Brahmavadini, right? Knower of the scriptures. Can you imagine Kunti Maharani's humility that she bore her children in the forest? She comes back. And when the Pandavas, the time of war comes, she is still in Hastinapur. That's how devoted she is. She doesn't want to create any discord by her presence in the camp of the Pandavas. Now, Kunti Maharani's prayers, the same prayer you also find very interestingly in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The same. Namah Pankajanabhaya, Namah Pankajamaline, Namah Pankajanetraya, Namaste Pankajangraye. Now, that particular episode is the killing of Bhaumasura, Narakasura. And again, Lord Krishna there shows his extreme sensitivity to mothers. To Bhuma Devi, to Satyabhama, his own consort. The verse goes as follows. Shishuka Uvacha, Indrena Hrita Chattrena Hrita Kundala Bandhuna Hrita Maradristhanena Jnapito Bhauma Cheshtitam Svabharya Garudarudha Pragyotishpurayau Pragyotishpura he left for by boarding Garuda flight, this Garuda Dev, along with Satyabhama. Now, there are some interesting reasons why he was going there. Satyabhama, she had wanted the Parijata tree. But it's also explained, Bhauma, he had stolen the earrings belonging to Indra's mother, along with Varuna's umbrella and the entire Devta's playground at the peak of the Mandara mountain. So, Indra, he had gone to Lord Krishna and informed him. The Lord, he took Satyabhama along and rode on Garuda to Pragyotishpura, which was surrounded by, on all sides by fortifications, very strong fortifications which were guarded by none other than Mura. Five-headed demon. Krishna actually slayed him, and then got everything back after killing Narakasura, Homasura. But there is a very interesting point Prabhupada says. The Acharyas, this is said by Vishnu Chakri Thakur. The Acharyas have explained in various plausible ways why Lord Krishna took his wife Satyabhama with him. First, Shira Swami begins by saying that the Lord wanted to give his adventurous wife a novel experience. Satyabhama, he wanted to give her a novel experience and thus took her to the scene of the extraordinary battle. I mean, killing a demon with so many heads. And the Narakasura had 7 sons, killing all of them. Must have been very glorious. In fact, they tried no end to torture Garuda, which Krishna could not tolerate. So all of this is so much rasa, virya rasa. So Krishna wanted to give this experience to Satyabhama. That's what Sridhar Swami says. Also, Lord Krishna had once granted the blessing to Bhumi, the goddess, earth goddess, that he would not kill her demoniac son. He would not kill her demoniac son without her permission. Since Bhumi is an expansion of Satyabhama, the latter could authorize Krishna to do the needful with the unusually nasty Bhaumasura. So it's explained that before Krishna was to kill Narakasura, he actually looked at Satyabhama. Satyabhama said, kill him. Kill him. So it was actually a sanction from Bhumi Devi, Bhauma Devi. And that's when Lord Krishna slain. And after that, Bhumi Devi comes back. There, Vishwachari Thakur says, as Bhauma raised his invisible trident, Satyabhama sitting on Garuda with the Lord said to Krishna, kill him right away. And Krishna did just that. Finally, with his sharp-edged disc, Krishna cut off Narakasura's head. So then Prithivi Devi approached Lord Krishna. She gave back all the items that Narakasura had stolen. And then she offered these beautiful prayers. Namah Pankajanabhaya, Namah Pankajamaline, Namah Pankajanetraya, Namaste Pankajangraya. If you correlate, this was actually spoken long before Kunti Devi offered this prayer. So that's again Kunti Devi's humility. She is actually quoting Anusmaranam, Anukirtanam. The more one recites, mulls over the words in the scriptures, the more one is glorified. Because it's Maha 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 Prasad. See, she is relishing that. And actually such beautiful, simple analogy. Namah Pankajanabhaya. From Garbhodakshaya Vishnu's navel, this lotus flower that stems on which Brahmaji is born, the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, which are sought, very beautifully explained. Asiya Jamunar kule nache hari hari bole. Jamuna uthole jaise charana dhulaye. Right? That lotus feet of the Lord, Yamuna Devi is rising up to wash his lotus feet. Those are stationed on this lotus flower. I remember Japataka Maharaj recalling one of his first services to Srila Prabhupada. He asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, how can I serve you? This was actually, I don't remember the location. And Prabhupada said, can you please bring me a rose flower? That's all. So satisfied he was. That was a great opportunity for Japataka Maharaj. And he explained how he braved all odds and, somehow got this rose flower. And when he gifted it to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada was so satisfied. So simple objects in nature have been compared to in the scriptures. Radhakund Maharaj, says that, those who haven't seen nature, how will they even understand these analogies? the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Brahmanyadhaya karmani sangam tiktva karotiha lipyatena sa papena padma patra ivambasa. Being in the water and not of the water. How the lotus leaf actually, the moment you take out, all the water slips out. Now there are many other, butterfly wings also have that property. Pigeons, feathers also have that property. And they may be quoted in different places for different purposes. But here, the beauty is lotus. It's very soothing, and that word is also used, very soothing. One who's burning from this samsara dava narila loka, it's like burning forest fire. You come and watch the beautiful lotus flower offered at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, you feel very soothed. So that, therefore, this is very interesting, this 200%. Internally, the more we nourish Krishna's blessings, the more we express our gratitude every moment, live a life of gratitude, the more we will become indifferent to things around us. At the same time, this indifference to things around us is not being, you know, offensive, is not being naive. Because when one is naive, one may not have bad intentions, but others' perceptions could cause harm to others. So the perceptions do matter. And that's why we saw how Maharani Kunti is very conscious about how she offers prayers to Lord Krishna. So on this, in this very auspicious occasion of, so today is also, by the way, the disappearance day of Mahesh Pandit. Mahesh Pandit, his Samadhi Sthala, he is also considered a Gopal, Dwadashi Gopal. Subahu, Mahabahu, his name is Mahabahu. Mahabahu Gopal and Udharandat Thakur was Subahu. It's interesting that the scriptures, they say that no yajna is complete without the bharya, the wife. We see how in the Srimad Bhagavatam there's a description of the yajnic brahmanas, they were so engrossed. But the yajnapatis, patnis, it is not that they were just hanging around there. The yajnas are never considered complete without the presence of the bharya, the wife. There's a very interesting verse to that effect. So, when the yajnapatnis actually, they live that 200% life. They were performing, they were, without them the yajna in letter would have not been complete. And the yajna patnis in spirit also completed the yajna by fulfilling the desire of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram expressed through the cowherd boys. So, I mean, and both Udharandat Thakur and Mahesh Pandit, both of them were part of that Dwadash Gopal with Balaramji. So, very interesting reconciliation. I will just explain that Mahesh Pandit, he participated in many leelas of Nityanand Prabhu. In fact, both of them participated in several leelas of Nityanand Prabhu, very dear to him. Especially the Panihati Chirarahi festival finds mention of both of them. And then there's this very interesting verse, which I'll probably conclude with today, about Mahesh Pandit, who relished the association of Nityanand Prabhu in the Panihati Chidadahi festival. So it's explained. Vrajera Udara Gopal, Mahesha Pandita Vrajera Udara Gopal, Dhakka Vadye Nrityakare Prema Matoyala. Mahesh Pandit is explained that he is Vrajera Gopal of Vrindavan. He would love dancing in ecstasy in Kirtan with Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And that was also witnessed during the Panditi Chidadahi festival. As devotees were loudly chanting with raised arms, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Helplessly crying out for the Lord, Mahesh Pandit captured the hearts of all the devotees with his beautiful dancing to the tune of Dhakka. Dhakka is that dhol, like a. There are so many different kinds of drum instruments, and one of them is the Dhakka. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, that it's also explained in the, I think, the Gaura Ganesh Deepika, that the 64 Samadhi area, there you'll find Mahesh Pandit Samadhi. There's also the Venuku, which as per Padma Purana is where Lord Krishna dug with his Venu a well to fulfill the thirst of all the Gopagana. So there we find the Samadhi of Mahesh Pandit. So on this very auspicious day of their disappearance, we can sincerely pray to them that we, in our journey, we are very sincere sadhakas, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, seeking shelter in His words, in the association of His devotees, in sadhu sangha, At the same time, like Maharani Kunti and all these great devotees, we are very sensitive. We, in the mood of Uddharandat Thakur, we become a small link, an instrument in the hands of the Supreme Lord to bring about transformation in the lives of so many suffering living entities in this world. And one more example comes to my mind. Shivaji Maharaj has explained that when he defeated the Subedar of Kalyan, there was a woman, beautiful woman, and one of his associates said, "What to do?" She said, "She's like my mother." Right? So on one hand, you are defeating someone who's creating atrocities. On the other hand, this Kalyan, just right next door. At the same time, she was a Muslim woman, and Shivaji Maharaj got her dressed very nicely. She said she should be given the respect of her mother. Matravat paradareshu. So we can also very sincerely pray that we become very conscious of our responsibilities towards others. And we can strive to help others with their adhikar. The word adhikar is also very important. Adhikar is not just right. Kartavya is responsibility, but adhikar is not just right. Adhikar is that which is provided to fulfill responsibilities. So it is not that when we are striving to for the adhikar of others, we are just causing sense gratification. It's such a mutually fulfilling experience that you are providing the facility for the other person to fulfill that person's responsibilities. Without necessarily saying, but one's own example of striving to perform her or his own duties itself speaks louder than anything else. So therefore it is said that, you should only speak when the speech is louder than the silence, right? So on this very, again, this auspicious day, we can take we can solemnly meditate upon how we can fulfill our responsibilities as sincere sadhakas, as those entrusted with the entire treatise of knowledge by the predecessors, the acharyas, not only in terms of the knowledge, not only in terms of books, but their examples and also the ecosystem they have created. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.